This week is brought to you by me following my dreams of being a stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah? What, do you want to do some material?
Yeah, sure. White males. All right, fine. How about this? Transgender people. I've made it. I'm a stand-up comedian.
And there was much rejoicing.
Down. My phone is down to 33%. It's fading fast.
Yeah, when are you going to get a new one, fool?
I don't know.
You should just ask your parents for one.
Yeah.
For Christmas. You and your 2017 iPhone.
Well, it's like... The thing is, because I know that trading up to the next one will mean getting rid of the home button, and I don't want to get rid of the button. It's not even a button.
Honestly, I got used to it really fucking fast. It wasn't even like a thing that like I mostly like it because it's all screen, so you can look at like your YouTube is bigger kind of thing. But yeah, I honestly got used to the swipe really. Like, I didn't even take a day before I was like, oh, this is simple.
But yeah, sure I'll be fine. I just, you know. The thing that keeps me from going there to get it is the fact that I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Anyway, even though most phones don't have home buttons anymore, but yeah.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
All right, let's do this. Hello, welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Hello.
Yep.
Today we're going to talk about... I've been having acid reflux lately. It's wonderful.
having acid...
I think it's all the...
Reflux?
The obesity that my body has.
Yeah, I'm just burping up straight diabetes.
Diabetes, why you don't let me eat cake?
Why you don't let me eat cake?
Anyway, we're going to be talking about Rolling Stone's Top 40 Country and Americana Albums of 2019 list. And then we're going to be talking about our Spotify Wrapped and, what is it, Apple Music Replay, I believe is what it's called. I don't think Kevin looked at his Apple Replay because he doesn't use it that much. He's still
I can tell you what my Apple Replay was. It was the Cody Jinx singles that got released on Apple Music before they got released on Spotify. That's what my review is.
There you go. All right, so first off, let me pull up the article. The Rolling Stone released their top 40 country and Americana albums of this year. And honestly, usually when we pull up stuff like this, we're usually like, oh god, this is fucking terrible. But this is actually a pretty good list, which surprised both of us quite a lot.
Yeah, because when you said it, I was like, oh, I haven't even looked at this list, let me check it out. And I was expecting to be like, you know, oh, fuck this, fuck that, blah, 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 blah. And no, I read through the whole thing, and like, obviously there's some that are fucking stupid, but
yeah, so quickly,
it's really not bad.
Yeah, so first up at 40, it was Sturgill Simpson's Sound of Fury. As great of an album as this is, it's neither country nor Americana, and
yeah.
Sturgill Simpson very publicly says that he doesn't make country music anymore, so don't force it on there just to let people know, hey, I know who Sturgill Simpson is.
Yeah, that's kind of, especially with it being the very, like, the last one, being the 40th one, it was just like, we gotta make sure we put Sturgill on there because it gives us street cred for knowing who Sturgill is. It's like, well, first of all, everyone knows who Sturgill is now, who, like, actually listens to music, so it's not that impressive. But also, yeah, it's not a country record. I enjoyed it. I definitely haven't listened to it as much as I've listened to other things, But there are some of the songs that have made my top list on Spotify, so like I listened to it enough for that to happen.
It's the title song is on my Apple one purely because it's on my workout playlist, so it comes on a lot, but that's about it. Then at 39, Thomas Rhett, Centerpoint Road. Why? It's just...
That fucking bastard is nominated for Grammys, too, and like... What the fuck world are we living in where we have to be like, Grammy Award nominated artist, Dick Butt McFuckface?
I don't know. Dick Butt McFuckface is pretty great. At 38, it's Sarah Potenza's Road to Rome. I actually listened to some of this, and it's not country, but it is very blues and soulsy, so I do like it, but I've never heard of her before this, and I think it's a... Not to be a dick, but in the thing it says a journey of self-acceptance and empowerment, so you know why they put her on there.
Well, that's the thing. And based on the album cover, I'm like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, I'm just glad to hear that it doesn't suck.
Yeah, you know, it is I'll good music, it. So that's fine. Lauren Jenkins, No Saint. This one is actually a really good album. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I do remember really liking this one.
I remember that happening, but I can't remember it. Like, the songs from it.
Yeah, Justin Moore's Late Nights and Long Necks. This was actually one of his better ones that he's had in a while, but
yeah,
it's country, but it's still very bro country.
Well, and like the fact that like so many songs are about booze is like what are you doing, like a concept album about alcohol? Like, bro, what the fuck is going on? But it isn't.
Luke Combs.
It's certainly a country record, and it certainly has some good stuff on it. So I'm not upset that it's on here.
Yeah, 35, Lady Antebellum's Ocean sucks.
Didn't listen to it. Didn't even care to try.
Yeah, 34 is Brooks and Dunn Reboot. The only thing I have a problem with this being on here is it's old songs with just artists added to it.
It's like you're like, oh, so you're going to put like someone else releases a greatest hits and you're going to be like, this is one of the best albums of the year. It's like, well, like it's a greatest hit, so what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. 33, Jesse Malin's Sunset Kids. I actually didn't listen to this one, so I don't know.
Me neither. And my browser keeps opening and closing repeatedly, so you're going to have to keep reading them because I got no chance.
32 is Dylan LeBlanc's Renegade. Another one I didn't listen to. I don't know it. I'll have to check these ones out because I'm sure either they suck. Like, because I still remember when they put out their list like 2 or 3 years ago or maybe 4. I don't know. They had Old Dominion on it, and I checked it. I was like, oh, who are these people? Because I'd never heard of them. And then, of course, I listened to it. I was like, I wish I had never heard of them.
Yeah, Old Dominion sucks so bad, and I really hope Tim Corwin is listening to this so I can tell him once again how much Old Dominion sucks ass, and they're fucking garbage, and they're fucking terrible, and they suck.
See, so that's why I'm scared of... I don't think they're going to be bad albums.
Based on the album cover, if that dude is, like, pop country, I'll be fucking shocked.
But do you remember what the guy from 17 Memphis looks like?
Good point. I have been hurt before.
Yeah. At 31, this one's fucking phenomenal. D. White's Southern Gentleman.
Loved it.
Fantastic. 30, Orville Peck's Pony. As I said before, this dude's just weird.
Yeah, no, I think it's solid. It's just, like, my main complaint was the fact that I was, like, 5 songs into it, and I was like, God damn, this song is long. And it was just the fact that there was 5 different songs that kind of all sounded the same.
Yeah. 29, Paul Cawthon's Room 41. Yeah. I guess if you really want, you'd lean this one more into the Americana one, because this isn't really a country album.
No.
It's a very bluesy 70s kind of rock.
I think Americana works for it, you know, because it's got enough, you know, actual instruments going around. And it's got a lot of cocaine, and everyone knows Americana people love cocaine.
Exactly. Next up is Joy Williams' Front Porch. She's half of Civil Wars, and this album is so good.
Yep.
Might be on our top 50. We'll see once I look through them all, but it's a really fucking good
album.
Hayes Carl at 27 with What It Is. I honestly forgot this came out this year because I think it came out pretty early in the year, so I thought it was a little older than it is.
Yeah. I don't know if I listened to it more than the one time.
Yeah. 26, Reba McEntire's Stronger Than the Truth. It's classic Reba, so you know it's good.
Yep.
She's not changing her sound at all.
Yep, Reba's great. Thank God for her.
25, Justin Townes Earl's The Saint of Lost Causes. This is a phenomenal album. He's very bluesy.
Yeah, very Americana, too. as a dude.
Very, very good. 24, Jenny Tolman's There Goes the Neighborhood. This is one of those that's super good, but with the exception of like a couple poppy songs, but mostly it's just a really good country album, so I do like that it's on.
Nice.
23, Carolyn Spence's Mint Condition. I love this album. I definitely talked about it a lot when it first came out. I haven't listened to it a lot since then, but it's a very it's a very folky acoustic type sound, and it's great. Robert Ellis, Texas Piano Man. He is a very good, talented dude.
Yep.
And I like this one.
Yep, it was good. I like some of the songs that he's released previously more, but he's obviously talented as shit, so.
Yeah. 21, Emily Scott Robinson's Traveling Mercies. This is definitely one of the best of the year. This is an amazing fucking album. I don't know where it'll be on ours. It'll definitely be on the top 50, though, but this is, oh, it's so fucking good. 20, Luke Combs, because you have to have Luke Combs on your list if you're talking about country music nowadays. You just can't not.
Yep.
19, Ian Knows Between the Country.
Love perfect. That
this
shit.
This album is perfection. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
It was
good.
Great.
18, John Party's Heartache Medication. Phenomenal. He's the best, I think, that mainstream has to offer in terms of country guys. He is a straight honky-tonk cowboy country.
Yeah, my
artist.
Only complaints with him ever are just that, like, he has some songs that just are really kind of retarded. Like, they're still country songs, but they're kind of retarded. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, he does. He definitely does have those. 17, one of our favorite people in the world, Aaron Enderlin's Faulkner Country, as we've talked about.
County?
What'd I say, country?
Yes.
Oh, my bad, county. I have dyslexia and slight retardation.
Well, yeah, no, this album is incredible. Despite Steve's retardation, please listen.
16, Todd Snyder's Cash Cabin Sessions Volume 3. I actually didn't listen to this one. I'll check it out. 15, who gives a shit? 14,
I don't know who it was. I can't fucking, like, I got a screen that's got, like, oh, that just popped up. Hold on, what were you on?
15 is Maren Morris's.
Fuck off.
That's all you need to know. Then 14 was, God damn it, now mine's fucking up.
That's what you get for thinking that you ever could not have fucked up shit.
It's because the website knows it's us and that one lady fucking hates us.
But for real, the Rolling Stone website is ass. Like, it sucks dicks.
It's fucking terrible.
Like, I know that I'm fucking trying to do this on my iPad that I got back in, like, 1935, but it's, come on.
Yeah. 14 was Runaway June's Blue Roses. They sound like mid-2000s chick country. That's pretty much it. It's not a bad thing. It's just, that's what it sounds like. 13 is Midland's Let It Roll. Luke is Midland.
Luke is Midland.
12 is Jeremy Ivey's The Dream and the Dreamer. I think I listened to this one, but I don't remember.
I would really like it if I could somehow get this to load enough for me to be able to look at that album cover. Because I have no idea.
He looks kind of like Bob Dylan. At 11, I got Ken, or not I got, Rolling Stone. Yes.
I wrote this. It was me.
Yeah. Kendall Marvel's Solid Gold Sounds. Kendall Marvel is fucking awesome.
Yep. This album was great. He's great. Love it.
10 is Michaela Ann's Desert Dove. I love this album. And if you don't know who Michaela Ann is, listen to her. She's so good.
Yeah, the official stance is I don't remember that album by Jeremy Ivey. Looking at the album cover, I don't recognize it at all.
Number 9, some guy no one really cares about, Tyler Childers, Country Squire.
Yeah, dude sucks. No, he's incredible. I like how Blurb saying something along the lines of, like, you know, more money into the production and backing and all that shit, and so he could have gone and fucked everything up, or he could have stayed the course and made something cool. He stayed the course and made something cool. I honestly kind of feel like I like Purgatory better, but it's not because this is a bad album. It's just that Purgatory, like, grabbed me by the fucking balls immediately, and I was hooked on it for, like, a month straight. I was listening to it, like, every day. So it's like, it just didn't grab me like that. It's still really good. Tyler Childers is the future. He's great.
Yeah. At 8 is Our Native Daughters, Songs of Our Native Daughters. It's Rhiannon Giddens.
She's good.
Amethyst Kia? Kaya? I don't know.
Don't know.
Layla McCullough and Allison Russell. I haven't listened to this, but it's Rhiannon Giddens, who's amazing, so it's probably yep. really good.
Yeah, I bet it's great.
Yeah. 7, Kelsey Walden's White Noise, White Lines. This came out recently, and this is a phenomenal, phenomenal album.
Yeah, she's really good.
6, Randy Houser's Magnolia. I forgot this one came out this year, too.
Yeah, this was early in the year, right? Because
I think so.
Like, in my head, I'm like, wasn't this last year? Yeah. But no, it wasn't. Yeah. The fucking, like, the No Stone Unturned song is good, except for the fact that, like, the line is retarded. You know? It's retarded.
Yeah, sorry, you froze, so I just let you talk.
Oh. I was just say the no stone unturned, the no
turn
no
on stone.
No, yeah it's retarded. Like, it's just, I get it. Like, what he's saying, I get it. But it just sounds so dumb to me when he says it.
It's really bad. At 5, Mike and the Moon Pies. Sorry, Mike Moon Pie and the Moon Pies.
Mike Pie Moon Pie. Moon Pie and the Pie Moon. Moon Pies.
Moon Mike and the Pie Pie. Cheap Silver and Solid Country Gold.
And the Pie Pie.
This album is amazing. Mike and the Moon Pies are phenomenal. I've actually met the
They're
singer
so
a few times. I actually had a beer with the guitarist.
You brag about Pie Moon, Moon Pie.
And
Pie.
He, not going to lie, he wants to be on the podcast, and we need to make that happen somehow.
But yes.
It's really hard.
He's great.
It's really hard for us to do that now that we live in separate
fucking
states.
Music.
True,
but they're incredible. I love them. I'm so glad that, like, more people are getting to hear them as they're getting bigger. It's great. I'm so happy for
and
them.
Even though I love this album, it's just impossible to follow up on Steak Night at the Prairie Rose, because that album
well,
is
that's
perfection.
That's the thing. I like Steak Night. I mean, and granted, the fact that it is only an EP is kind of the only reason too that it doesn't stack up to Steak. Like, because if it was this good for an entire album, I'd be like, holy shit, back to back. I mean, like, it's still like, holy shit, back to back releases of music that are incredible. But yeah, Steak Night was. Steak Night was so good. It's one of the better albums in the last couple of years.
Yeah. At 4 is the High Women self-titled album. As we've said before, this is a great album, but it's at 4 because of who they are.
Yeah.
Because if you look
at
this blurb, here are two parts of the blurb. This was a record for everyone with a message of solidarity that transcended age, race, and yes, gender, of course. And then, I love that. Here's Maren Morris patting herself on the back. I love that we have songs on this album that are about shattering female stereotypes to a gay country love song. It's like, yeah, all right, just pat yourself on the back and virtue signal.
Well, it's you know.
It is a great album.
They're so talented, though, and it is a really good album, so there's that.
But it's at 4 because of that. At 3, YOLO, Walk Through Fire. She's really good. I do remember, this is on our list of albums that have come out this year, because I do remember hearing it and really enjoying it.
Yeah, she's an incredible singer, too.
Yeah. 2, this one is one I have a problem with being especially this high. It's Miranda Lambert's Wild Card. It's on here because Miranda Lambert is Miranda Lambert, but this album is not very good. It's
like, I don't know. Miranda Lambert's turning into like the token, you know, I listen to country music. I know who Miranda Lambert is. Mm-hmm. It's like, congratulations. We all know her.
Yeah. Granted, she's always had talented or great songs, but she also did have, like, pink sunglasses or whatever on her last one, and that's just not good. And then finally, at 1, they put Tanya Tucker's While I'm Living.
Tanya Tucker.
Tanya Tucker with the While I'm Living. She's a country singer, and she likes beer.
She's a country singer, although I gotta give her negative points for not once mentioning the coach or the Bears. So,
coach,
negative 3 out of 10 Ditkas.
Exactly. This was one that I listened to, and I thought it was just kind of like a generic album. I didn't think it was anything special. And
yeah, well, that's I can't say that I listened to it more than once, because I listened to it the one time when it released and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta listen to it. But my thought was just kind of like, oh, this is a good country record, but it didn't, you know, grab me and make me want to listen to it again. So that's what I like. What was everyone hearing that I wasn't, or was I just not paying attention, or possible it's Tanya Tucker, so just give
well,
it.
Well, and that's the thing. Not to put my fucking Alex Jones hat on, but or to sound like Alex Jones.
I got the documents right here. I got to say, Rogan, I'm kind of retarded.
But the top four albums are all women, so it's Rolling Stones' little bit of fucking virtue.
Kind of retarded.
it's their little virtue signal thing, but and then at number zero was Cody Jinks' After the Fire, and then at negative one was Cody Jinks' The Wanting, because it's a sin that both those were left off this fucking
list. Well, that's the thing. I don't know when they were compiling this, if they had a cutoff time, but fuck them.
Also,
those were incredible.
As we're going to get to this artist in a bit, I forgot this one also came out this year. Charles Wesley Godwin's album is not on there.
Yes, and then also Jason Hawk Harris's album.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's... So, obviously, as we said, it's better than what we thought it was going to be. They have great albums on there. They actually, it's not like, oh, here's Blake Shelton, and here's Jason Aldean's album, and here's Luke Combs' album
Luke
twice
Bryan
for
didn't,
some reason.
Didn't release an album, but we're going to put him here just because.
Yeah. Thankfully, it's not that. They actually have great ones. Like, Mike Moonpie and the Moonpies is at 5. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's good that they have
good ones. It's solid enough.
But there's still a lot of virtual signaling, and here's some shit that you shouldn't be listening to on there and whatever. Anyway, let's move on to our Spotify Wrapped and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Kevin listened to Spotify for 26,000 minutes this year, and I listened to Spotify and Apple combined for 40,000.
I'm going
to
be honest, though. I thought it was going to be a much smaller number because, like, you know, literally all of this year I've been at a job that I can't listen to music at work.
And
so
listen to
I thought
when you're home too.
Well, and I listen, and literally I do. I listen to my vinyls. Not, you know, I wouldn't say exclusively when I'm at home because I'm not that much of a douchebag.
While you
but,
drink your
like,
PBR and talk about the environment.
I'm just twirling my mustache that I can't grow right now. Mm-hmm. But, like, so I thought it would be a much smaller number because I literally was, like, looking at what I did last year. I'm like, well, if I was listening to music, like, all day at work for an entire year and I was at, like, 60,000 or some shit, almost 60,000 last year, I was like, it's going to be, like, 10 because I just don't have time to do it. So the fact that I got to 26, I'm kind of happy with that. But the other thing is, like, obviously we'll get to it when we start talking about the songs and the music. It was pretty apparent when I read through my list that, like, if there was an album that I really liked, its songs completely fill like my playlist because I didn't by not listening to music for extended chunks of time while at work, I just didn't have the ability to like really dive back through a whole bunch of different artists.
And
like this is the first time
shuffle, pretty much.
Well, exactly. So like this is the first time I haven't had Jason Boland on my top five, and that's probably because Jason Boland is my absolute go-to. I'm going to literally shuffle everything that they have or literally go through four of their albums in a row kind of bands. And so when I'm not able to listen to, you know, long chunks of time, I've just been throwing on different things. And so they're still have a lot of their songs on my playlist, but they just didn't make the top five.
Yeah. So first we're going to do our top artists from Spotify. But first an honorable mention from my Apple. My fourth most played artist on Apple this year was Lowdown Drifters because their album came out this year and it's amazing. So listen to them. But first,
it's a good one.
At top number five on Spotify, my five was Mike Ryan and yours was Tyler Childers. I've been we've both been obsessed with these guys for a couple of years now, and they're both phenomenal.
Yeah, I can't remember what my top five was last year. Should have remembered
it'd be on
that.
Your Instagram.
It is on my Instagram, which I can't really open. I could open it while I'm talking to you, but I'm afraid to use more battery than I'm already currently using.
I'll look it up.
But I don't remember if Tyler Childers was on it last year, but I'm just glad to see him on there if he wasn't, because I have been obsessed with him for a while now, and I'm really glad that it's bearing out the way that I kind of anticipated. But like I said, I mean, I have
Tyler
both
Childers
of his
was on yours last year.
He was. Okay. I was like, well, I have both of his records on vinyl, and I know that I've listened to them a lot, So I wish I could track that somehow. Not that I really care, but at the same time, it would be interesting to know.
Yeah, your last year top five were Whitey Morgan, Tyler Childers, Turnpike, Jason Boland, and Cody Jonks.
Nice.
Yeah. At four, this was my number one on Apple, was Brad Paisley, because obviously I still listen to him a shit ton. And your number four was Charles Wesley Godwin.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool, because it just goes to show that his album came out early in the year and I was obsessed with it, and I still am obsessed with it. It's for sure making my list of top albums for the year.
Yeah.
To see him make the top five when he literally had an album come out this year it's the first thing I've ever heard from him, shows that I was really, really into it, and I'm really like he's got such a cool sound. He almost sounds like fucking Irish at times, which is interesting. Like, he's a West Virginia guy, yeah. But there's times when he's singing that almost sounds like an Irish folk ballad Irish or some thing. Shit. But he's really, really good, and I'm really excited to see what he does just in the future.
Yeah. My number three was Sean McConnell. It's actually mostly because he had a new album come out this year, but it wasn't very country. So I have a lot of it on my workout playlist, and that's why his song get played a lot, because he has a song called Here We Go, and it's really good. It's just not country at all. But so that's why. But I also listen to still a lot of his old country stuff, because it is really good. Then your number three was Turnpike Troubadours.
They suck, obviously. Yeah. So what are we even doing? Turnpike
listens to them.
Yeah, Turnpike is incredible. If you haven't listened to Turnpike, what are you fucking doing with your life? Yeah. But I mean, they're just great. There's nothing else you can say. Turnpike's great. Please come back together. I'm so sad that they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. My number two was Wade Bowen, because, of course, it is. I listen to Wade Bowen the fucking time.
Didn't even know you were a fan. Yeah. Had no clue.
Yeah,
none.
And your number two is Bro Pretzel.
Yeah, and we'll get to it when we get to the songs. So many of my playlist is songs from his album this year.
Harold Saldana,
And I know for a fact that, so in the summer, I golf. I try to golf every weekend because I love golfing. Every time I go to golf this whole summer, I would always be putting those songs on because they were the perfect windows down, flying down a country road, you know, in the fucking cornfields and shit. Wow. So it was like, it was my go-to windows down driving songs. Yeah. So I know for a fact part of the reason why he is as high on my list is because of that. But also, I really was obsessed with that album. It's not a country album, but it's the perfect kind of shit that I do like, which is like red dirt pop punk of the mid-2000s.
Yeah. My number one, which is also my third on Apple, was Turnpike Troubadours. As we said, we missed them. And your number one, which was my number two on Apple, was Cody Jenks, which is no surprise.
Yep.
He's been your number one for, 4 years in a row now?
Yes. Ever since I found him, basically. Cody Jenks is a lifestyle. It's not a choice. I'm just obsessed with his music. I think it's incredible. I listen to his vinyls a lot, too, so I don't even know what the total amount of minutes I listen to his music. But, obviously the fact that he had two albums come out helps the total listening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's great if you're not listening to him. Also, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
Exactly. Moving on to our top five songs. I did it two different ways. I have... my top five Spotify, my top five Apple, and then Kevin's top five Spotify, because my Apple is like the back half of the year, because I joined Apple halfway through the year maybe or something like that. So you can tell that there's a difference between before these songs came out and after these songs came out, which ones I was listening to a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So first up at number five, mine on Spotify was Turnpike Troubadours' Diamonds and Gasoline, because I was trying to learn it on guitar. I still haven't succeeded at it because it's not an easy song to play, but I love it. It's a great love song.
Oh, great song.
My number five on Apple was Cody Jinx The Wanting, because as you're going to see, this album came out, these two albums came out this year, late in the year, and I listened to them a lot.
Yeah, because they're really good. The double vinyl of both of them,
dude, that thing came is sexy.
Came in the mail this weekend, and I listened to all of it more than once, and it is very exciting. I love, because it's one of those things, it's like, I love listening to vinyls just in general, but it's also really, it's really nice to listen to an album that you know that you like, and then when you put it on for vinyl, and you just basically reinforced that as you're going through the album, like, yep, love this song, yep, love this song, yep,
love
this song.
There's no hitting next on it. And so you listen to the whole album, and it's great. Your number five was Co Wetzel's Forever.
Yep. Just all the songs that are off of his new album that are on my top five are all, like, upbeat, like I said before, fucking Red Dirt Rock meets the early 2000s pop punk sound. And that's, I love that shit. That's the shit I grew up listening to. And then with the Red Dirt element added to it, it's a perfect blend. I can understand why people don't like it and don't want to listen to them. And if that's the case, you're free to do that. I don't care. But I love it, and it's a jam. And love it.
My number four on Spotify was Josh Abbott Band's Amnesia. This was actually, I think, on my top decade list, if I'm remembering right. Because this song has one I've been listening to since this album came out. Because, as we've said many times, Front Row Seat by Josh Abbott Band is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Oh, yeah. And that is that album is the album that I keep forgetting to buy the vinyl of. Because I want to buy it because it's a great album. And I know that it'd be a great album to have. And I keep forgetting to do it, and then every time we, like, mention them somehow on the podcast, I'm like, fuck, I was gonna literally do that, and I haven't, so.
Yeah.
I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. And then.
Great album, great song.
My number four on Apple is Coulterwall's Kate McKinnon, because I've done a lot of Coulterwall binges.
Good old murder ballads. Yeah. I was preaching the gospel on why murder ballads are great to my friends the other day, and they were looking at me like I was a fucking crazy person. I was like, no. Murder is good.
You watch murder Netflix documentaries all the time. I can listen to the murder song.
Well, exactly. You people and your fucking, you know, romantic murder nonsense bullshit late night crap. Fuck you. I just want to hear people sing about it.
Yeah. Your number four was Cody Jinx Must Be the Whiskey. Phenomenal.
I'm actually surprised that was the one that is on here. But at the same time, that song is perfect because it's a jam and you can listen to it just to be happy and jamming out and upbeat. But also it's still like, you know, a really good song that it's like, oh, I fucking love this song. I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
So it got played for sure a bunch of different ways, and no regrets. Josh Morningstar, incredible co-write.
No regrets,
love him.
At three for me on Spotify was Shane Smith's All I See Is You. Not surprising. This song was probably my most played by them this year because it's just so fucking good.
It's a jam. Yeah. They jam, it's a jam. Mm-hmm. Love it.
My number three on Apple was Cody Jinx, Which One I Feed. This is my favorite from The Wanting. It's just this awesome song. As we talked about, it's such a cool thing about, it's about the white wolf and the black wolf and which one are you feeding that day, or the good or the bad. And it's really good.
The duality of man.
America. At 3 points at three on Spotify for you was Co Wetzel's Austin.
Yeah, this is this is like one of my favorite, because it's not a total fuck you kind of, it's a post breakup song, but it's not a total like fuck you. But at the same time, it's also a fuck you where he's just talking about like, you know, this girl who's now in Austin. And he's like, you always said you hated it there. What the fuck? Were you lying to me? Did you never care? You fucking dating some banker dude. I don't even know you anymore. Fuck you. And it's just like, it gets, I love how it's got like the fucking, what is that? Is it like a xylophone with the little metal pieces that you hit? It's like all slow with that. And then all of a sudden it fucking drops into super distorted power chords. And again, I understand why people don't like him. I also don't care. I like him, and I'm going to keep listening to him.
Yeah. Next up at 2, for me on Spotify, was Mike Ryan's When I Drink Beer. Not surprising. There's like 6 Mike Ryan songs that I'll just randomly throw on my play next and just shuffle it into my songs. And When I Drink Beer is definitely one of the big ones. I'm actually surprised it wasn't like New Hometown or Wasting No More Whiskey, because I think Wasting No More Whiskey might be one of my favorites by him. But When I Drink Beer is phenomenal.
Yeah, great song. Love Mike Ryan.
My number 2 on Apple, not surprisingly, because I've been listening to this one a shit ton recently because I learned how to play it, is Turnpike Troubadour 7 and 7. Just
love that song.
So good. So good.
It's probably my favorite. I can't remember if I actually had it as my favorite on our episode, but it's probably my favorite by them. Absolutely great song.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Let's see. Turnpike Troubadours. When did we do that episode? 43. It's been a while. Damn.
Shit.
Your number 1, it was 7 and 7.
Yeah. I just love the... it's such an interesting take, and I think the uniqueness of it is why I think it's so incredible, where he's just like, from the perspective of seeing an old, you know, girlfriend or whatever, like, in the supermarket, and him just kind of like having this revelation about, you know, just different directions their lives have gone, and where he's just like, I had no clue that I would be the one your mom warned you about. Like, mm-hmm. I never saw myself
as
the bad guy, as the one to look out for, to be careful, like, watch out for that motherfucker. Like, the fact is, like, I had no clue that was me, and then now that I see you living your life, and he's just like, you know, could have said something, but he just turns his shopping cart and walks away. It's just, it's so good. It's so, so well written.
Oh, yeah. Then your number 2 was Coe Wetzel's Ragweed. Surprising, a Coe Wetzel song.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, people are like, Jesus Christ, bro, you listen to a fucking bunch of Coe Wetzel. I was like, yeah, all these songs I would play on the way to and from the golf course literally every weekend because they're jams. It was nice out, drinking beer. It was perfect. But seriously, if you don't miss Ragweed, you're a liar, because Ragweed was great.
This is the one that I said before. I love this song, other than that just douchey line of she's got that fuck me mouth. It's just like, okay.
Yep. Well, you would be the same if you ragweeded.
Exactly. My number 1 on Spotify, also not surprising because this is one I listen to a shit ton, is Wade Bowen's Day of the Dead. I absolutely love
that song.
It's so good. Just the Mexican mariachi kind of feel to it, and
when it does the outro with the horns, with the trumpets and the full mariachi, it is incredible. And every time I listen to it, I'm like, you know what? I want to watch Coco again.
I know,
that movie is incredible.
It does make me think of Coco.
That movie is incredible. That song is incredible. Yeah. Love it.
My number 1 on Apple, this is the least surprising thing because I have been shouting how much I fucking love this song since it came out, is Cody Jinx, Ain't a Train. I absolutely love this song.
Jam.
It is definitely my song of the year. I love this song
so good. The first time you hear that fiddle solo kick off in the middle of the song, it's just like fucking 6 to midnight. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely
incredible.
It gave
me fucking goosebumps like the first 20 times I heard it, and then it just kept giving me boners.
Exactly.
At number
goosebumps turned into boners. Boners turned into paralysis.
Exactly. Number 1 for you.
No, put the song on. Oh, God.
Number 1 for you is a guy we haven't heard from yet. Coe Wetzel's What You Deserve.
this is definitely my favorite one from his new album, because it's like it literally sounds like, and I know I've already said it twice now, the fucking early 2000s pop punk like type of fuck you. Like, it sounds like if you took Newfound Glory's My Friends Over You and then just made it Red Dirt E, that's what this song is. And because I love it's just like him talking about how like this ex of his is such a bitch, and she did him so wrong. He's just like, no. You don't deserve to just be sad. Your whole world needs to crumble. I want everything terrible that's ever happened to happen to you, because that's what you deserve. And it's just, it's, you know, power chords and fast guitars and all that good pop punk nonsense. And it's literally like this. It's the shit that I'm like, I didn't even know I needed this in my life, but now that it's here, I'm so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are our top five songs. My guy's kind of top 10 because it's split. But yeah, those are our favorite songs of the year that we listen to way too much. That everyone should be listening to because we have great taste in music. But before we move on to our awesome segment of number one country song this week, because not from this year, because this is terrible. First, I wanted to. When I looked at my Apple Replay, it shows your top 10 albums, and I just wanted to point this out because. For those of you who think that I only listen to country, well, you're usually right, but I work out actually a lot, despite being a big fat ass.
I work out.
So, these are the albums that are...
Man, look at that body.
These are my...
Man, look at that body. These are, I work out.
These are my top 10 albums of the year. At 10, I had Colter Wall's self-titled album, because...
Real blah.
Real good. At 9, Kobe Cooper's Good Ones Never Last, because when that album came out, that was a phenomenal album.
Yeah.
Number 8, here's where you're going to find out I'm a giant fucking nerd. 8, the Halo 2 soundtrack, because...
No!
Because it's really... Because actually, there's some songs that are on it that are on my workout playlist, because there's that fucking Breaking Benjamin song, which
blew me away.
Rules. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible.
And then the Hoobastank song is also great. But, so for those of you who don't know, this is a nerdy thing I'm going to say.
Nerd!
Video game music is actually designed to be background music that you don't have to think about when you're listening to. So I listen to it sometimes when I work because it's just background noise that just kind of focuses you.
Yeah, it's the same same as like used to listen to movie scores.
Yeah, I still do that, but yeah.
Yeah, when studying I used to do that.
Yeah, so that's what I do with like the Halo one. And then 7, Turnpike's A Long Way From Your Heart, obviously because that's... just a phenomenal album.
Incredible album.
At 6, Cindy Jonks' After the Fire, because obviously, as I said, I listened to Ain't a Train a million times. At number 5, Cindy Jonks' The Wanting, because obviously I listened to that a shit ton. At number 4, surprisingly, at 4, this is my last country album on my top 10, is Lowdown Drifter's Last Call for Dreamers, because that album is so good.
Yep. Love that album. I've got that one on vinyl, too, so I know that I've spun that a few times.
Yeah, so my top three is the God of War soundtrack from the God of War, like the PS4 one, because it's also good work while not focusing. Number 2 is the Last of Us soundtrack, which is another great video game soundtrack. And then number 1, obviously, because, like I said, this is what I listen to mostly when I work out, is the Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack, which is so fucking good.
I want to call you a nerd, but that movie's incredible, and I did really, really like the soundtrack, so I will allow it.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah. If my my top music list or whatever, it's a lot of songs from that album from Apple. But so yeah, anyway, moving on to the number one country song this week, but not from this year because this year's terrible. We're going back to 1999. This is already 20 fucking years old.
Y2K!
Exactly.
Y2K!
December 11th, 1999, the number one song was Brad Paisley's He Didn't Have to Be. I wanted to do this one because...
He didn't have to be prepared for Y2K!
Because it was... Nothing happened. But I wanted to do this one because I saw a couple other ones that I could have chosen from this day, including I Love This Bar by Toby Keith, which was a few years later. But I wanted to do this one because I don't think we talked about this song any of the episodes we've done Brad Paisley. I don't think either of us have had this like as a top song.
I don't know if we had it as a top song, but I swear that we mentioned it at some point.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, it's a really good song.
So, because it's, for those of you who don't know, this is a very old Paisley song. So if you're kind of a lapsed Paisley fan or you never gave him the chance because he was a mainstream guy, this is a song about a guy who was the son of a single mother and he, you know, had to watch his mom try and date and find the one. And when she finally found the guy, he was this great guy who, when they went out on their date, he was invited to go to the movie with them. And it's just like, I want to be the dad that he didn't have to be because I'm not his son, but he still treated me like I was.
Yeah,
his son.
It's a super get you in the feels, feeling good song because I don't even come from that background. I can't relate on a first-person mm-hmm. basis to what the song's about. But every time you hear those bits about how, you know, this guy came into the world, you know, into their life, and just, like, made him be a priority, you know, it wasn't just some random dude, you know, that was seeing his mom, like, that really made it a family. And then the fact that he's just, like, that line about, I want to be, you know, the kind of man that he didn't have to be. It's just really powerful and really, really well done.
Yeah. So anything else you've been listening to or watching or doing or pooping?
Pooping a lot. No, I've got the vinyl that I've got on the player right now is Cody Jinx's Less Wise Modified Reissue, and that album is incredible. And so anyone who hasn't listened to it needs to get their fucking life together.
You don't even listen to Cody Jinx, you liar.
I don't. As we have established, I only listen to Coetzel.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really been... I've been listening to Christmas music because I'm a cool kid. But I'm just prepping our list for next week.
Oh, well, that is what I have been listening to at work.
Because you have to.
Absolute buttload of Christmas music. And can we take a moment to talk about how, first, no one who has ever existed and has been allowed to use their ears to listen to things would ever want an Alvin and the Chipmunks fucking version of anything. No one. No one wants to listen
Wasn't
to
that.
That why would you ever have them do anything? Ever.
Was it that Christmas song?
And they did a different... They also did a song.
Oh, because I thought that one was an Alvin and the Chipmunks song.
Yes, but there's also... I swear to God, they played, like... It wasn't Frosty the Snowman, or it was, like... Wonderful Christmas. There was a version of an actual song that was just the Chipmunks, and I was just like, I'm gonna fucking lose my goddamn mind. Two! Well, whoever does that one version of Santa Baby needs to be cunt-punted into the fucking sun. It's the most absurd, terrible song I've ever
heard.
It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I'm pretty
sure.
And
I've listened to Kane Brown. I listened to the whole fucking album. And I would rather listen to that on repeat on a mission to the fucking moon than fucking listen to Santa Baby one more goddamn time. I rest my case.
To be fair, I think whoever...
I just thought about the fucking... I should have said the thing from SpongeBob. You may kiss the bride.
By the power invested
in me, you can kiss the bride.
But to be fair, I'm guessing whoever did sing that version of Santa Baby is dead, because I'm pretty sure that's a very old version of it.
Yeah, I am glad that they're dead, and why weren't they dead sooner? Seriously, I'm starting to doubt whether or not communism is the worst thing brought into Western society. I think it's Santa fucking Baby.
Oh my God. I want to write a song called Santa Baby, but it's about a baby Santa that poops his diaper all the time.
This Santa Baby is a pain in my ass.
Santa Baby, won't you learn to use the toilet for me?
And shit.
Anyway, you can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, CountryHodgePodge, Spotify. We got a bunch of playlists. Someone actually asked us on Instagram about the playlist. Listen to our podcast, Neil Serum. Buy a dumb shirt on a link through the site or tpublic.com. Kevin's on Twitter, CHP_Trarch, where he's bitching about stuff.
Santa Baby.
Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It's also available on SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you would like, listen to one of those places. But that's it for this week. Until next week, we're going to do a special Christmas episode about our favorite Christmas song sung by Sam Hunt. So
better than Santa Baby.
It's actually just Santa Baby all the time. That's what we're going to do. We're gonna
honestly,
do,
you don't want to know something crazy?
Top 10 versions of Santa Baby next
you
week.
You want to know something crazy? Literally, it's impossible for Sam Hunt to do a worse version of Santa Baby.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
That's true.
That version, what if it's, and I don't even know who does it.
What if it's...
Worst thing that's ever been recorded.
It's, What if, though, it's Santa, or it's Sam Hunt, but he sings like this, Santa baby.
I actually probably would just laugh really hard. Santa baby.
And then he raps. Anyway, that's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve.
Santa lady, you want to get picked up in my truck and fuck.
You're only 21, but that's cool.
That's old.
I'm in my mid-40s.
You got a younger sister to fuck.
She's pledging. Anyway, that's it for this week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hutch, as always, joined by Santa Baby, saying good night, goodbye, and good Charlotte.